It's WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. We have Evan and Linda from Muck in the Myers coming up in about 10 minutes or so after I play some tunes. Really looking forward to that. I've been following that band for a long time, and first time they've been on the show, so I'm excited for that. I'm going to play some music first. This is new stuff by Rob Moss and the Skin Tight. WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar.
The Kiss used to dig the rock and roll, but now's like music's in a hole. So much junk, it's what we hear. What happened to the sound we held so dear? What happened to? What happened?
What happened to the rock and roll?
What do you hear? There for us to cheer. Rock and roll is noise. Rock and roll is boys. Rock and roll is girls. Rock and roll is thrills. Rock and roll is noise. Rock and roll is boys. Rock and roll is girls. Rock and roll is thrills. We used to go. We used to go to $5 shows in the basement.
Was Rob Moss and the Skin Tight, brand new song by him called What Happened to the Rock and Roll. Gonna play three more, then I'll be up with Evan and Linda. This first one's by brand new stuff by a band called I don't even remember the name. Nate Perry and the Ragged Company, I believe it is. Just got it today. So here we go with Nate Perry and the Ragged Company.
Woke up this morning, the sound of pouring rain, and the ever-growing prospect my life is gonna change. Captivated by the beauty of it all as the sunlight fades, tucked away behind the clouds from the storm that brought the change.
a middle town at the record store.
All right, that was the Shanghai Lows. Song was Up Operator. Before that, Worshipper. One Way Trip is a new release they have out. I played a song called Keep This. Nate Perry and Ragged Company with All I Need from the Other Side of Everything EP. If under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. Public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. All right. I'm here with Evan and Linda from Muck and the Myers. Thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, thanks, Skybar. Hey, great to be here.
Yeah, it's been, I told you guys off here, I've been following you and playing your music, as you know, for a long time now, so it's great to finally get you in here.
You've been
lurking.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Yeah. So I got to ask about the name. Does that come up all the time?
Not all the time. I think people have grown accustomed to it. But
I like it, but it's... Who, like,
it wasn't thought through clearly, because when you name your band Muck and the Myers and you're the guy in the middle of the stage, you're now a muck and
and everyone fuels off a muck.
But the history of the band was Muck and the Myers started as a bunch of demo tapes of a joke band, and it had kind of an early 60s kind of sound, the first record. And so I gave it an early 60s name, which is something in the somethings, you know. So it was like Muck and the Myers had a little bit of a ring to it. And fortunately, you know, I've grown accustomed to be called Muck. So it all worked out.
Yeah. No, I like the name. It's, but I always ask bands that have names that are not just like the guy's name. How do you get that name?
So well, I always tell people that there's an episode of The Honeymooners where Norton has a friend who works in the sewer named Jim McKeever, and his nickname was Old Muckenmeyer.
There you go for all you honeymooners out there.
Yes, obscure reference.
And obviously we're going to talk a lot about Muck, but anyone that's open for the Ramones, and you did in your other band Voodoo Dolls, right?
Yeah.
More than one occasion.
Six times.
So that's how'd the first time come about? Were they just looking in the area, looking for a band to open up for them, and you guys put your name in the hat, or how?
Well, I think a lot of people know this, but maybe they don't. I'm originally from New York, mm-hmm. and when I turned 18, I immediately became a pretty much a Ramones groupie and followed them everywhere.
Oh, all right.
You know, in the tri-state area. And I became friends with the band, Johnny Ramone in particular, the guitar player. And when I formed a band, Johnny said, you can open for us. And,
wow.
So, you know, it was pretty easy back then. The industry is very different. Nowadays, you know, you get touring packages, whatever label band's on, they're going to support. But back then it was, you know, a lot more open. You'd always have a local opener opening for a touring national band. And it was definitely a great opportunity. We did Boston four times, New Haven, and Providence, Rhode Island at the old Living Room. So it was good times, big crowd.
Yeah, and so you, I guess it's safe to say that you knew Johnny Feely well?
For a number of years, yes.
For a bit, right.
Yeah.
Like when you had, would you hang out with the guys before shows? Or,
yes.
So it was cool.
You know, there was a weird dynamic because, I mean, Joey was really, really nice, and I really enjoyed hanging out with him, but the two of them to get along. So Johnny was always looking at the, you know, the corner of his eye when you're talking to Joey, like, what are those guys talking about? You know, it was a little paranoia kind of thing. And Dee Dee was an absolute hoot. I mean, just absolutely hilarious all the time. And I never really knew, never really talked to the drummers, Marky or Richie, mm-hmm. who were the drummers at the time. But and then I never really talked to CJ either, but it was good times, definitely, hanging out with the Ramones and opening for them. And the Voodoo's probably, I want to say it was like our fourth show was opening for the Ramones, and it really...
That's pretty mind-blowing.
It changed stuff for us. It really did.
I would think. Yeah. And yeah, because the Ramones, I mean, the crowds must have been crazy at the time. And
yeah, I mean, I forget what the capacity was at the channel, but let's just say it was 3,000, but they'd somehow squeeze in 5,000 or whatever. I have the numbers wrong, but, you know, it was just ridiculously over capacity back then.
A big number for the Voodoo Dolls to be playing in front of, though. So that's cool.
Yeah.
To open up for that. And so when did Muck and the Myers get together?
Well, like I said, I did the first album as demos. And
what year, like, roughly?
That was 2000.
Okay.
So we put out, the record was called All Mucked Up, The Best of Muck and mm-hmm. the Myers. And it got picked up by Amp Records, which was a Hamilton, Ontario label. And then that got picked up for vinyl by Sound Flat out of Cologne, Germany. And at that point, they're like, well, you got to go tour and support this record. And I was like, well, there's no band. So
literally, there was no band. It was just you and...
Yeah, but I left the door open. You know, the back of the record had all the fictitious names. You know, Muck is mm-hmm. the lead vocalist. Pedro was Pete back then. So it said Pete Myers because I always wanted to play with him from the Ape Hangers.
Yeah.
And the drummer, we just named Jesse Best because it could be a guy, it could be a girl, leaving the door open for Linda, mm-hmm. Who's Jesse Best on stage, of course. And we kind of just all stepped into the names on the back of the record. And so the band really started in 2001 with me and Linda and Pedro. And, you know, the current lineup is me and Linda and Pedro and John Quincy Meyer, who's been with us since 2006. So
it's been pretty steady. You've had this lineup going for a long time.
Over 10 years, yeah.
Which is kind of unusual in a band nowadays, I think, to keep a lineup intact for 10 years in a band. It's,
well, you know,
it's a good thing.
We just have nothing else to do all day, so.
But I know you're writing... You're one of the more prolific bands out there as far as getting material out. So you must always be, you must not have like a writer's block thing going on ever.
Well,
you tend to crank them out.
Yeah.
And they're all good.
The thing
I've said in the past, Muck and the Myers, you can count on quality work and it's steady. Like it's, some bands take like 3 or 4 years and they go on a down spout period. But you're pretty much moving music out there at a good clip.
Well, thank you. And, you know, what I told people is we churn them out faster than the record labels can put them out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and we'll talk a little about this later, I'm sure, but we, you know, we're promoting this new EP on Rumbar Records, but we've got a 14-song record that was recorded before that that will be coming out first quarter next year, and then we're actually recording more stuff in November for next year for a single on a French label. So we definitely are an album ahead of what's already out there.
Always.
At least, so, which is good. You got to stay ahead of the competition, you know?
Yeah.
And music is, I don't want to call music disposable, but, you know, with content.
It's quick.
It's you got to get it out. And it's one of the things that's tough with a band like us is that we're still, because of the genre of music we play, I guess, we're still in that mentality that, oh, you put out an album. You know, yeah. It's like, you know, but it really doesn't work like that now. You put out a song, and it gets
singles
played,
are
gone.
All the rage. Yeah.
So, but we'll put out some singles and then we'll dump the album on everybody. And
I'm going to play a few now. I'm going to play the first song that really grabbed me that you guys had, that I heard anyway. And I'm going to play a couple, we'll come back and talk about a lot more stuff. And we might get Evan to bang one out on his creaky old guitar that he brought along. But here's a couple songs.
There's a brand new sound all around this town. It echoes in the street where all the cool kids meet. And I do expect you'll show your respect and get on your feet for the king of the beat. We'll be right back.
was meant to be. You can't run away from love, cause it's gonna find you, it's gonna find you. You might try to hide today, but it's gonna find you, love is gonna find you. You can't run away from love, love's gonna find you. You can't run away from love, love is gonna find you. You can't run away from love.
We got a sing-along in here, but you couldn't hear it out there. That was You Can't Run Away From Love from Dial M for Muck. Mm-hmm. King of the Beat going back a ways for a cellar full of muck. All the songs have muck involved, and I mean, albums have muck in the titles of some sort, right?
Most do, yeah.
And I'm going to let you try to, I'm going to give it a go here, Evan.
All right, well, so well, this is a good time to give a plug to the Mess Around, which happens on...
Yes.
Was it once a month on Sundays?
Yeah.
Jay Allen, Tom Baker, and Tom Baker usually lends me his acoustic guitar because I don't own one. But I've got, this is, you can't see it on the air, boys and girls, but this is my first guitar that I got when I was 14. It's got 5 tuning keys, and it's got 5 strings and 1 electric string. It's a nylon string guitar. And it's the only acoustic guitar I own, so here we go. This is from that first Muck record, and it may be apropos to this situation because it's called If I Knew Then What I Know Now. There are things I'd never tell, and coins I'd save for wishing well. If I knew then what I know now, there are games I'd never play, and friends I'd save for rainy day. If I knew then what I know now, if there was a way that I could have understood, and I could change my mind, well, maybe I would, and maybe I wouldn't. All those times we felt so proud, I could have, would have laughed out loud. If I knew then what I know now. If I knew then what I know now. If there was a way that I could have understood, and I could change my mind, well, maybe I would and maybe I wouldn't. I could have gone so far, I would have married the movie star. If I knew then what I know now. If I knew then what I know now. If I knew then what I know now.
Okay, it held up pretty good.
Not bad for 30-year-old strings.
Yeah.
Not even kidding. Look at these things.
I think it held up pretty good.
You know what I was enjoying is the neck is so wide on that because it's a classical guitar, and I'm used to seeing you with your toy Rickenbacker.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Well, I got a little hung up on that string there. It's about 3 inches off the neck. But
like I said earlier, it's a poor man who blames his tools, right?
No, it worked good. Sounded good.
Well,
thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll, I think it sounded good enough that you can maybe try one later on, but let's talk about
it. Okay, fair enough.
Give you a break, right?
Yeah, that hurt the fingers. Anyway, yeah.
We'll talk a bit because there's more muck to get to. And I'm still going back a bit here because, again, I'm a huge Springsteen Little Steven guy. And in 2004, you won Little Steven's Underground Garage. Was it nationwide?
It was a battle of the bands that he held in every city, and we made it all the way to the end at Irving Plaza in New York, and we actually tied with a band called the Blackouts that are gone now, but we were the winners, so the winner got to play the festival, the one that happened 20 years ago with the Stooges and
yeah.
New York Dolls and the Flesh Tones and the Fuzz Tones and the Everything Tones and the The Strokes and Bo Diddley and Nancy Sinatra.
Another.
It was insane. Absolutely insane. Pete Best. Pete Best of the Beatles. We shared a trailer with him.
Yep. Another amazing situation, right?
Yeah, it was covered on MTV, and it definitely opened a lot of doors for us in terms of, you know, just getting name recognition and shows.
MTV alone, you're like, MTV, wow.
Yeah, you know, always looks good on the resume, right?
You must have met him briefly, Stephen, I imagine,
we've
right?
We've met him many times, actually. Yeah, we have a mutual friend. It's been a while. Hi, Stephen, if you're listening. but, yeah, he still plays us on the show.
Right.
We were cool with Song of the World, whatever. A year, last album, Buckingham Palace.
Yep.
I'm Your Man, one of Pedro's songs. Hi, Pedro, if you're listening.
Yeah, Pedro's got a bit of a commute, though, to get here,
he
right?
He does. He's a trooper.
Yeah. Evan had asked, you know, I can ask Pedro, but I'm like, Pedro ain't driving up here an hour and a half for
he would for you,
40-minute Skybar radio slot. But there's a lot of ground to cover with you because you guys have been so prolific. And I got to say, a lot of times when you hear a band on vinyl or on CD, they sound great. And when you see them live, it's a whole other thing. That's with most bands. But you guys are the epitome of that. Your live shows are just knockout, high-energy, bang-out shows. And you're a great, great live band as opposed to even how you come out on record.
Well, thank you.
And Linda should know that you always come up in the conversation. And this is not with just – this is with other bands about what a fantastic drummer you are. And so that must make you feel good to have that kind of – reputation among local bands.
Oh, thanks for sharing that. Yeah, it does. I there's so many people better than I am, but
no, but
I appreciate.
I always hear it from like I'm like they're like, oh, Linda's fantastic.
Well, she is.
Yeah, the band. It's a fantastic band, and I guess we got to mention Jim Diamond because he's influential with you guys, right? Or has been in the past.
Yep. So for those who don't know Jim, he had a studio for many years called Ghetto Recorders in Detroit. We flew out there twice and did a couple albums with him, and he's actually mixed
White Stripes?
Yep, White Stripes, Mooney Suzuki. He was like the garage rock guy. He did the new Sonics records when the Sonics got back together. Just really has a handle on that genre of music, and he's got bands that will fly him to Europe to do records. He's got a great ear, and he has this ability of just taking like the junkiest, broken, rustiest gear and making it sound just killer. And that's kind of the charm of what Ghetto Recorders was. It was all. You expect to go into a studio, and it kind of looked, you know, it kind of looked like this, like just, you know,
nothing
a bunch of
special,
boxes and records.
Like, and broken down chairs.
Yeah, exactly. But not to disparage this place.
No, he could. The chairs.
No, but it's magic. You know?
But yeah, it was magic. And, you know, but the magic definitely lies between the console and the chair for him. So he didn't really, you know, it's not like the magic's gone. He's still doing it. He's still out there. He mixed our last record and... we'll talk about that later, I think, the one that comes out next year. So.
Yeah, and we gotta mention Lou.
Of course.
Lou's all you need to know.
Lou.
So how'd you must have just met Lou by him going to see you guys play and do the scene, or how did you, right, how'd you...
Yeah, well, you know, I forget. I mean, I feel like Lou and I paths crossed in New York, but...
Oh, really? Yeah, that's right.
I knew... We had a mutual friend, Kitty Kowalski from the Kowalskis.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And, you know, when Lou was moving to Boston from New York, she sent out a mass email, hey, with a picture of Lou. It's like, this is my friend Lou. He's moving to Boston. And now, you know... So I kind of... You know, I met Lou, like, right when he moved to Boston.
Yeah.
And we became fast friends, and... He's always been in the music business, but this was kind of, you know, pre-Rumbar, pre-King Yum Records, we were friends to begin with, so, you know, when he formed the
label. It was a natural fit. The label started, I just noticed, because it's the same year I started this, in 2012, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because it's the same year I started at MFO.
And so I think Lou moved to Boston, I'm going to say 2003 or 2004, that's my guess. So we were hanging out for years, and, you know, when he started the label, it was
like, automatic.
This is awesome.
Yeah, and he's the most energetic, supportive dude out there, so yeah.
That's the thing, you know, him and his wife, Lisa, really genuine when it comes to music. They're doing it because they love it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You know? I first met Lou around 2007-ish. I forget where, but yeah. And you guys, you love a road trip. I know you love a road trip.
We do love a road trip.
And you've gone out to Spain a couple times. Well, how many? We've been touring Spain for
20 years.
20 years?
Yeah, yeah. We see our first...
And other countries over there, too, no? Obviously, not just Spain.
Italy, I'm sure. Yeah, we were just in Italy. Well, we were only in Italy for one night for a festival. It was worth the flight. Let me tell you, thousands of people we got to play for. But and so that was this June. We flew to Salsa Maggiore, Italy, which is about an hour and a half from Milan, for a festival called Festival Beat, and they turn the whole city basically into a 60s vibe. If you go into a coffee shop, they're playing the Sonics. It's wild.
Wow.
And so we did that, and then we flew to Madrid and started ten nights in Spain. And again, that was festivals after festivals. So we were playing to, you know, we probably played to like 10,000 people or something on this tour.
And the fans are great over there, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's
super enthusiastic and
super, super, super cool.
They're just more into rock than the kids around. Is that the gist of it? I think so, right?
It's a different culture. I think music's a way bigger part of their life. Yeah. I think live music is just way bigger. I think they're years behind us. Because, I mean, I do feel it is waning a little bit, but not really. It's still amazing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's a few areas that just rock and roll is still king. And, you know, I think the places that we've played, they would be, the number one would be Spain, Mexico City, and Japan. Rock and roll is just huge, so... We travel a lot because we want to go where rock and roll is huge.
Yeah, and where people want to come and see, and they act crazy, and they're really into a band and the music.
Yeah. So we started this year on the West Coast. We hadn't played L.A. since before the pandemic, so we went out there to L.A. It's San Diego, San Francisco, trying to think where else we ended up, but Europe, obviously.
Right.
And we're going back to the West Coast in the fall. We're going to Seattle to play the Freakout Festival, which is a pretty cool garage rock thing as well. So
I'm going to play a couple more. And then, because, you know, we have an hour show here. I'm going to play a couple more.
I'll talk slower.
and you're going to... I think that sounded good. You want to do one more when we get back?
Sure.
All right. I'm going to play a couple.
Does that sound enthusiastic?
I thought I'm gonna play a couple. We'll be back in a bit.
As long as
There you have it, 6 o'clock baby, and before that we heard I'm Your Man from Greetings from Buckingham Palace, back with Evan and Linda, and Evan's going to try one more for us before we let him get out of here.
Oh, we're going to try. Anyway, indeed. 6 o'clock baby was from our new EP on Rumbar Records. It's a 5-song 7-inch, and actually it was supposed to be a 6-song 7-inch, but we got a note from the plant that said they couldn't fit the 6 songs on. So we had to drop one. So I'm going to play the one we dropped, but it is available on the digital download card because we already had those made up. So it's a nice song to remind us of how much we're going to miss summer. It's called Hey Sunshine.
Hey Sunshine, my old friend, coming up around the bend. But that's not how it's always been. Things are fine, two clouds rolled in. But once the storm came, it wasn't the shame. And raindrops fell upon my skin. Hey sunshine, remember when you were mine? Why could you just stay sunny instead of rain? This I try not to dwell upon. I can't explain though why there's a rainbow after all the rain has gone. Hey sunshine, remember when you were mine? Why couldn't you just stay sunny instead of rain, rain, raining on me? Hey sunshine, remember when you were mine? Why couldn't you just stay sunny instead of rain, rain, raining on me? If there's one thing I have learned, sorrow hurts more than sunburn. But I'll keep my eyes peeled on the skies, hoping someday you'll return. Hey sunshine, remember when you were mine? Why couldn't you just stay sunny instead of rain, rain, raining on me? Hey sunshine, remember when you were mine? Why couldn't you just stay sunny instead of rain, rain, raining on me? Hey sunshine, hey sunshine, hey sunshine.
Woo!
Hey.
Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome.
You know, if I bought new strings, this might actually work out someday, right?
Right.
But anyway, that's on our new EP. Well, it's in the download card, and we're going to be selling said EP next Friday, September 6th, We're playing our first Boston show in probably 5 months at the Burn Back Room.
And great room. That's a great room, yeah.
I don't want to hear that we go on too late because we are playing at 6:30 sharp. So you can actually grab something to eat and watch us. We won't criticize you. But we're playing the Burn with the Chelsea Curve.
Yay!
And a band from England called Sharp Class, who we've had the honor of playing with before. And
great band.
Do not want to miss this show. In fact, I do recommend you buy tickets at the Burns website. But you'll get in there. We'll cram you in. Just say you know the band. Right?
I got clout.
Don't buy the tickets.
Yeah. Buy the tickets. That is a great... I was at a couple of their shows last year. I think they were here last year, Sharp Class, with... Chelsea Curve, I think.
Yep, we did those as well.
That was at the Barron, too, I think. I saw... They had a few shows, but I think one was at the Barron,
No. You know what?
No.
That was at the Jungle. Wasn't it?
Oh, no. Well...
Let's argue. It was at the Jungle, damn. Well, anyway,
we saw
the Barron this time.
Somewhere. One of those venues. All right. Anything else? I know you play plenty of dates you want to...
I guess... Let's just go quickly down the list. Friday, September 6th, we'll be at the Burn. The following Saturday, we're doing Plum Fest on Plum Island, which we've done before, and that is amazing. That's like...
100 bands.
Oh, yeah, like that. I mean, we played to... It seemed like it was 1,000 people. I don't know. I'm bad with numbers, but it was good. We're finally heading back to Cape Cod, October 12th, for the Music Room in Yarmouth, and with Happy Little Clouds. And
great band. They were in here... About a month ago, had a great band.
Yeah, we kind of cold called them. We were late adopters. We discovered their stuff. We're like, this band's pretty great. So we're really grateful that they're going to be opening that show in Yarmouth. November, as I said, is Seattle, West Coast. And then November 15th, it's Sally O'Brien's with Norwegian's own Vibeke Sorgestad, featuring Ken Fox of the Flesh Tones.
And the Shanghai Lows.
Thank you. Bowery Electric in New York City in November. All right. And then finally, the Crystal Ballroom in December. If you go to muckandthemires.com, you'll be able to, get all that information.
And there's probably going to be other dates added in there along the way, I'm sure.
I hope so.
You're always busy.
Yeah.
All right.
Except
so you
on
have,
Tuesdays.
Yes. Right. What else would you be doing on a Tuesday other than listening to this? You have a new record ready to go, but that's for another topic. That's for down the road. But something else is coming out before the year's end.
We got the Rumbar thing out now. We've got a full length LP on Dirty Water Records from London, and a single in the spring to summer on Rogue Records out of France. Yeah. So we're busy putting out music, and
but I know you love that.
We know you got 2 hours to fill, so we can do our part to help you.
Oh yeah, I need the two. All right, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
No, I've been a fan of you guys for a long time, as you know. But I get some other stuff in the time I got.
Okay, thank you, Skybar.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. This band's called The Brother Stereo.
I come from a time in history where a conversation meant so much to me, and you were talking to my face, eyes locked in place. Shadows turn to days and we disappear, losing touch as we pass the new year. Gazing down at the blue light, we don't say goodnight. Yeah, you were talking to my my neck are on end, picking up from despair. I find myself. Together and go kicking the can down the drive. Well, we're gonna get older. I'll give you my shoulder to cry. The fathers and the mothers drinking, having fun with others. We're supposed to make sense out of
was the Brother Stereo, a song called Time and History, new single by them. It's 856 WMFO in Medford. We're listening to Rising with Skybar. I'm going to leave you with one by Sprints. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Modern gun, a modern fall. I want the modern gun, a modern fall. With the shit out of me.